going over a message on goodbye glory.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye glory.
Oh, my.
Oh, if the Holy Ghost ever says goodbye, we're going to be in for it, folks.
All right.
But that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning.
Bless you, Lord.
I have another message on my heart this morning. Since last week, we have conducted two funerals in 1 week. Then another we'll be attending Monday, the funeral home, and then probably spending the night and maybe staying over for the funeral then for Tuesday. But the lady that we buried yesterday, show you life is short, folks. She wasn't that old.
Right.
But Sister Ruby just saw her at the Walmart. She spoke to her and smiled and so on. The next she heard of her, she was in the morgue. And so, funerals, death is happening. And I'd like to preach this morning on the funeral service of I Will Later.
Oh, God.
Of I Will Later. The funeral service for I Will Later. Mr. I Will Later. I'd like to preach the funeral service for him. Then there's another one I'd like to preach the funeral service for. I Hope To Later.
Come on.
I'd like to preach the funeral service for another one. Well, we could say that I Will Later. That's Mr. I Will Later. And Hope To Later could possibly be his wife. And then, of course, he's got some children.
Come on.
And maybe one of his girls is Maybe Later. And then maybe one of the boys is Sometime Later. And then the other one is Going To Later.
Oh, God.
It's all related to the Later family.
All right, listen.
I sure hope that you're not kin to them.
That's right.
I sure hope you're not a brother or sister to this Later family. Because this Later family is in trouble.
Yeah.
And if you belong to the Later family, you're in trouble.
Right.
How many times have I heard people say when you talk to them, later, later. Uh-huh. When you talk to dad, he says later.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you talk to mother, she says later.
All right.
When you talk to the children, they say later. The old man at 80 years old, that when people talked to him and said, you need to get in church. You need to give your heart to God. You need to surrender all to God. You need to get your life prepared to meet God. From his youth up until 80 years old, he said later.
Yeah.
Later.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying that you don't have a chance in later years to get right with God, but it's sure dangerous. I think it's sure a mistake to make that when you say, later I'll do this, later I'll do that. And one morning as the Word of God was preached, and the old gentleman sat in the seat. He trembled and he wept and cried and tears run down his cheeks. The pastor said to him, after the service, what is your problem? I noticed you were emotionally upset. He said, preacher, it's the message that you preached. He said, For years I put off God. He said a year ago, I gave my heart to God. And I've done my best to serve God. But he said just this morning, I came by my, one of my children's home. I said to my boy, son, will you go to church with me? Will you go to church, get your family and go to church with me? Said he looked at me and smiled and said, Dad, sometime later,
uh-huh.
He said, when I walked out of the house, there was some of my grandchildren. He said, I said, boys, won't you come and go to church with me? He said, they looked at me and smiled and said, Papa, we'll be like you. We'll wait till later on. I would to God that I could preach a sermon this morning that would bury old Mr. Later.
Right.
I can preach a sermon this morning that would bury Mrs. Hope to later. I wish I could preach a sermon this morning that would bury that young lady that may be later. I wish I could preach a sermon that would bury that boy that said sometime later.
All right.
The last one I'm going to later. And it could be later than you think this morning, folks. God help the man that says, when the rain is coming down, I'm going to fix the roof when the rain is over.
All right.
And then when the rain is over, he forgets all about it when the sun comes out. Till another rain comes. Then another rain comes, and oh, it's always, I'm going to fix it a little later. Till all of a sudden the ceiling is letting loose. The sheetrock is falling. Other damages has been done to the structure of the house.
All right, come on.
It could have saved all of that labor. It could have saved all of that time. It could have saved much less time and much less material if they would have took care of it immediately.
Right. Bless him, Lord.
Later. My scripture this morning, I want to take it from several places, Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion and others watched him as he suffered. They saw the earthquake. They saw the sun, the moon, and the stars black out. They heard his groans as he hanged on the cross. They saw the bodies of once dead saints, but now they were walking in the holy city. They felt keenly a remorse of conscience. They were deeply convicted of their awful sin and confessed, truly, we have crucified the Son of God, but their confession was too late. It should have been made a week earlier before that.
Oh God,
how many are laying on their deathbed now, facing the strong hand of the enemy, and saying, only if I would have listened, if only I would have a week earlier, I would have walked down that aisle and give my heart to God. But it's too late now, for once the Spirit leaves us, there's no coming back. Yes, this was the Son of God. Yes, the centurion said, this is the one that we should have believed in. We should have accepted. We should have honored. We should have loved. We should have served. It's too late now.
All right.
Too late now. Amen. The Bible said in Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He is coming in the clouds with power and glory, folks. Those who crucified him will see him. The 10th centurion will see him. Pilate will see him. The soldiers that thrust the spear in his side will see him. All the wicked and kindred of the earth will see him. They will weep. They will wail. Amen. They will confess and they will pray, but it will be too late.
All right.
I would to God that spirit that lives inside of you, that's Mr. I will later, or Mrs. I hope to later, or Mary. Maybe later. Billy, sometime later. Jake. I'm going to later. I would to God that spirit today you would give it a funeral, a procession, give it a funeral service, and bury it.
Oh, yes. Come on. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Yes.
Nice. Another scripture text. Jeremiah 7:16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. What a sad day when God stops the preacher from praying. What a sad day when God stops the mother from praying.
Lord Jesus.
Listen. Therefore, pray not for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me. What God's saying. For I will not hear thee. God became disgusted. Told the prophet not to pray for them any longer. Don't cry for them. Don't ask me another time to save them. I'm through. I will not hear. Listen to me, friend. Jeremiah had delivered a message. He had delivered his soul.
Yes.
Cleansed his hands of their blood. Yeah. He had delivered the message that God had sent him to deliver. And they rejected it. They turned a deaf ear to it. Maybe they said, I don't disbelieve all of this. But sometime later, give me a while to think it over. Can I tell you this morning, folks, concerning your soul, it ain't no time to think it over. It's time when God deals with your heart. It's time when God speaks to you. It ain't no time to think it over to every day. It's time to respond and walk down to the altar and give God your heart.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
This could become to the place God refuses to hear your prayer. Would you hear this? Would you listen to this? This is a call that I received. On my recorder. Brother and Sister Strickler, I listened to your tape on How Will You Die. Just felt led to call. I just wanted to tell you, I know you don't hear it enough. I appreciate you and Sister Strickler. Even though I'm out of church and I'm not living it, how much it means to me. You hold a standard. You're holding a standard. Whatever it's worth, it means a lot to me. Keep praying for me. Even though no guarantee of tomorrow. I enjoy your message. I enjoyed your message on tape. How will you die? And I know you're put down so much. At least you know someone appreciates what you stand for. Hope to see you in church sometime. They gave their name. But that's been quite a few years ago. about a hope to later. Will it be another one? Maybe later. Sometime later. Going to later.
Oh, God.
Will it be one day I'll hear another call put on my recorder? Same picture. So-and-so has passed away. Or could it be on my recorder and said, come, preacher, quick? And when I get there, I hear these words. I planned on later. But it's too late then. I may repeat some this morning. When I was called to the hospital, some years ago after just preaching a funeral here, the man and his wife sat in the congregation. When I was called to that hospital, that woman trembling and shaking. Tell me, preacher, why did God take my husband so soon? She said, him and I were just talking it over. We're going to sell what we've got and build us a new home. And then we're coming over there to church, and him and I were going to walk down that aisle together. And give our heart to God.
Oh, God. Come on.
What? What? I want to tell you, when God speaks, it's our time to move.
That's right.
If we don't move when God speaks and calls, when we get ready to move, it may be too late for God's acceptance.
Right, right.
God is getting tired of this Mickey Mouse playing church. This Andy Pendley Andy. Up and down and in and out.
All right.
Shoving in high gear and then in reverse. In a time of your most crucial moment when you need a hand to hold on to, the hand will be drawn back. God's keeping a record. He knows what you do on your job.
Yeah.
He knows where those pornography books are that you visit regularly. Sure, they're not yours. They just as well be. Because you'll be no less guilty whether they're your brothers or whether they're your aunts or your uncles or your boss man.
All right.
Here. The old black preacher. Said, I talked to one of my black friends. Talked to him about coming to church. He kept telling me, Parson, I'll be down there when I get straightened out. The old common preacher standing in the pulpit doctor straighten up your life. Don't wait till death straightens you out in a coffin.
That's right. That's right.
When you'll be no good to God and no good to hell either. Young man, wading out into the river, amongst the jagged rocks, father and father, he waded. A man standing up on a little hill saw him going out further, knew he was going past the danger point. He saw the tide rising. He hollered to him and said, "Sir, don't go any further. Turn around now. God, I want to tell you here. Don't go any further."
All right.
You never know when the last church meeting you'll set in will be your last opportunity and your last chance.
All right.
There will come a day that you will seek God, but He'll not be around. You call upon Him, but He'll not hear. I heard a message on turn or burn. Turn or burn. I want to say, unless some begin to turn, there's a lake of fire that is burning, waiting. I want to admonish you today, if there's sin in your life in any shape or form, whether it's a little lie, big lie, in between lie, whether it's lust, whether it's procrastination, whatever it is, turn around.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm just too pretty, preacher. I'm just too young for God to turn me over to a reprobate mind. I beg you pardon. You continue. You're treading on the borderlines. No doubt someone's here saying later, "I'm going to get down to business. But as long as I can sing in the choir, as long as I can lift my hands and feel a little something, I'm going to continue like I am, and later I'm going to give my whole heart to God. I would that you'd have a funeral service for Him."
Oh, yes, that's right.
I said, "I would that you'd have a funeral service for Mr. Later. Right today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off till tonight, because the sun may go down and it'll be too late." Sir, turn around! The tide's rising. Turn around. But he just... How many people have I seen when I preach?
All right.
To warn them, Brother Longer, Brother... Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
preacher. You might scare someone with those scary things, but I'm wise. I've been through school. I'm well educated. I don't believe them old things that Grandma and Granddad believed. Yeah. I don't believe them old things that Mom and Dad believed. That you had to live clean, you had to live right, you had to separate from the world, you had to have a sincere prayer life before you go to heaven.
Late.
Is that here? What just to say? I'll turn around when I feel like it. Nobody needs to tell me what I need to do and when I need to turn around, when I need to pray, when I need to come to church, when I need to seek God. You know what I'm doing. That's false. That's delusions. Turn around. Turn around. Later. Later I'll do that. Later I'll turn around. After many, many warnings. That man only healed. Shook his head. Said, I've tried. I've tried.
Right.
After a while, that young man felt within himself, I've gone far enough. How many of you feel like that you've gone far enough?
All right.
You have put it up long enough. You have rejected God long enough. You have turned God away long enough. You've spit in His face long enough. You've slapped His brow long enough. I've gone far enough. I've turned. But when he turned, those rocks that he used to step out where he was out of sight now.
Uh-huh.
The water was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And he found it was too late now to turn. The rock was gone. Oh, you've got a rock. You've got a rock this morning. That rock is Jesus Christ. He's the rock of ages that you can get on. But if you keep putting it off and putting it off, the rock will soon be gone.
Yeah.
He went to a watery grave while the man stood and shook his head and said, I cried. I called. And he wouldn't listen. When he reported it, a man missing. People gathered out to the river to search for him. The man still wrung his hands and said the sad thing. Is that I warned him. I pleaded with him to turn around. And he wouldn't turn around. And I tell you that Samson is a good illustration of wouldn't listen. Solomon is a good illustration that he wouldn't listen. Pilate. Herod is an illustration. He wouldn't listen. was on the judgment seat. Get him ready to judge Jesus! In that particular time, they allowed the governor or judge's wife to come in and sit by him. Just before it started, Pilate's wife slipped in and sat down beside of him and said, "Honey, don't have anything to do with condemning this man."
That's right.
"I had a dream last night about this man. Don't touch him. Don't condemn him. Don't put your approval upon to have him crucified. Oh God. But because of position, let me tell you folks, position will keep a lot of people from coming to God. You have a position on your job, and if you live holy, live dedicated, you're going to get ridiculed, you're going to get talked about, no doubt, and you will not dedicate your life to God. You'll come to church and put on a good front, but when you go to that job, you'll put on a false front."
Yeah.
I walked into the restaurant after the funeral yesterday. I was up at the bar getting me some food. And a lady come over. She said, "You're a minister, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I could tell it.
Right.
I could tell it." Told me, I said, "What church you go to?" She told me. She looked just like them. She didn't look like you ladies. Then, "I know this, friend, that you that work," of course, I think some of you come to church in the clothes you worked in, "but you work. And I know you're not going to wear a suit after you work. But at least let them identify you
right
as a separated person."
Right.
"Amen."
Right.
"You go to that job, ladies, with your sleeves out, your dress, and with the neck way down, and then you're not a witness for Jesus." Hallelujah. She told me, what church she belonged to. And she said, "I knew you were a preacher." I walked into another store this week, or maybe it was last week, my wife and I was looking at some things. And the man came up to me, and just right out of the blue sky, he said something about the president. Of course, I turned my head to listen to him. He said, "They say that George Bush is a saved and born again man. But he said he ain't no such a thing." I said, "Well, maybe at least, sir, he can straighten some things out." But I was thinking, at least we got rid of what was there 8 years. I don't think we could be any worse. Then from one thing went to another. I said, "Sir, what belief are you?" I think he thought that I was just another man, even though I was a preacher. That would be.
preacher. He said my wife was Baptist. Said she got over into this Pentecost. And when I looked at her, I thought she was plenty crossed. He said, there she is. Hair all cropped off. Extra amount of pounds of weight. In a pair of big old breeches. That's her. I said, yes, sir. I see her. But do you see that one right over yonder? He looked. I said, that's mine. What does she look like? Amen. I said, when you see her, that's the way you'll see her out in the public. That's the way you'll see her at home. By that time she made her way over where I was at. That's her, right there. She come up with that big charismatic grin. I'm going to call it Colgate grin. I mean, smiling big. He said, we ain't like it like church. I said, now listen, sir, I want to tell you one thing. I come up under that. The church you're going to, I come up under it years ago. I come up under it. And she was standing there. I said, I come up under it when the ladies weren't allowed to cut any of their hair off. When I come up under what you're going to, they were not allowed to have any lipstick, no earrings, no tying of the hair. They didn't put on blue jeans, the women. They didn't wear slacks.
Come on.
They didn't wear, put jewelry on their hands. I said they didn't have television, VCRs, or camcorders. They didn't go to the picture shows. You said, did you tell him that? I sure did. And I said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, sir. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to offend you. But before I would go to one of those churches today that profess Pentecost, speak in tongues, and live worldly and mock God, I'd find me a Baptist church and go to it. Before I was through, they went. I thought a spring was in there. Can I tell you, my friend, those are the kind that are going to come powering up to the judgment bar and say, haven't I did this? And haven't I did that? And he's going to pronounce, I never knew you.
Right.
It'll be too late.
Right.
Yes, preacher. I'm going to take little Johnny into hands. In a few more years. In a few more years, it's too late.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to begin to pray about this. But I'm not going to pray about it right now.
When we see what's taking place and get down to business and pray.
Right.
It's too late. It's too late. You'd call me a clothesline preacher after 29 years nearly of preaching here. I lay at night. I sit in that recliner at night. And I said, God, I don't want to miss you.
Right.
I was praying this morning early. Around 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I would that some could get their eyes open. Before it's too late. Before it's too late. I wish they could get their eyes open what their children was involved in before they're too late. I wish they'd pray and get some discernment to where they could discern between right and wrong. Before it's too late.
Right.
There's no use to come down to the altar and wring your hands and weep and cry when God warned you a year ago. And you said later. Later I'll stop that boy and that girl from going to that place that's much questionable. What they need a prayer. They don't need a friend of the world. They need a friend of Jesus.
All right.
I'll stop this. Little parties. Getting young people together. Without a watch. Brother, sister, if they can't visit the places, some places when families are there and can't keep their self modest. It's no use after they've done committed their lustful affair.
Right.
They wring your hands and said, I would to God I'd never let that happen. Sometimes we make provision to where you can step the foot into dangerous things, and when they get into trouble, we wash our hands of them.
All right.
We turn with criticism. What an awful thing they did. Let me tell you something, folks. Here we make provision for young people to get into lustful places. We're going to be guilty of their sinful acts.
All right.
That boy come up to his dad. He said, Dad. Dad said, did you do it? He said, no. Dad said, I was praying last night, and you're lying to me. That's the kind of parents we need.
Right.
Some of us parents don't pray enough to discern anything.
All right.
When they become 18 years old, we feel like we can throw the leash loose and we're not a bit responsible for it anymore.
You're responsible for those children till the day you die.
All right.
I'm responsible to pray for my boy. I'm responsible to pray for my daughter-in-law. I'm responsible to pray for my grandchildren until I die. Amen. I don't want to wait until it's too late. Till it's too late. Oh, God. Listen to me. I'm not an ignoramus up here. God spoke to me and said, you're lying. You know what Mr. Later had a problem with? Procrastination.
Yeah.
Procrastination is an uptown word, which means that a man puts it off. Puts it off.
Yeah.
When I came into Pentecost, Brother Roadcap, I never heard him preaching procrastination. It was putting it off.
Putting it off.
But you see, they have modernized. Amen. They're no longer drunkards, but they're alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
What's the word they use? They're no longer adulterers, prostitutes, but there's something else now, bringing it down to where it doesn't sound like that it's too hideous, and it's too sinful, and it's too ungodly. But in God's sight, it's still sin, and it's ungodly.
That's right.
Drinking will still send a man to hell and burn him forever and ever if he doesn't repent. Alcohol. Dope, cigarettes. Don't tell me I haven't grown any. I think what's happening to us today, too many preachers are growing away from the old-fashioned gospel and warning men and women. Therefore, our churches is being filled with worldliness and ungodliness. Old Herod. Oh boy, look what I am. And I'm the governor. I'm the big shot. Old John the Baptist. Out there. Old Herod. Having a great time. Boy, God, that he was really something that he could peep at his brother's wife. And so he took a peep at her. Woo! Or I could get in pretty hard there again.
All right.
Well, Brother Beckett sat in my living room around the table. He said, I'm going to preach on wanting eyes. I've had them little silly things to come around to me and look up and at them eyes and roll them some way or another that look like sexy eyes. I said, you little idiot, you. I wouldn't waste my time on a thing like you.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. Boy, he took another peep, and she looked better. Let me tell you, men, you better keep your eyes peeping at God.
Right.
Boy, he said, I want her. And he got her. That boy on his big old throne, I mean, having a great time. Along come this old holiness preacher and said, "Tell him, come on in. I'd like to talk to a holiness preacher." That old holiness preacher come in. He didn't mince no words. He didn't play no games. I mean, he didn't share no sympathy. You know what's happening to us today? We're too sympathetic with those that are indulging in sin.
All right.
We're getting to be a sideboard. We get to feel like they got to have a little something to do. You can't put them in a straitjacket. I'd rather put them in a straitjacket for God than put them into a wide open hell for the devil. That hurting stone. Linda says she's worried about me. Don't worry right now, because if I leave, I see a straight shot to that glory world. Hallelujah. Sister Ruby said, "Don't leave now, Brother Strickland." Talking about this hurting, she said, "Don't die now." I don't know what she was saying. "I'll just come back over here. I want to see you for a while." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Herod looked at it. Let me tell you, when things of the world begin to look better and better every time you take a look, you better look another direction.
Check it out. Right.
Now he got her. He got her. And up on his throne, man. Yeah, sit that homeless preacher in. Come in there. I don't know whether Herod had time to even down say one word or not, Brother McNutt. And old John pointed his finger at him and said, "Look here, boy, it's not right that you have your brother's wife." I mean, he was speechless. "You an adulterer." I don't know why they stayed around much longer or not, but old Herod got mad. You know what he did? Sent him off to jail. That was unheard of. Usually they took him out and killed him. Sent him off to jail. I don't know how long John was in that jail. But someone said that they felt like that old Herod went down to that jail numbers of times.
Hello.
And said to John, "Now John, you're a pretty good man. And John, I like you. John, I like the way you live. I like the way you look. I like everything about you, John, but one thing. I can't stand that holiness preaching. John, if you'll just tell me you won't preach against my wife anymore, I'll let you out of here. You won't preach against me." Isn't that just like folks? "I'll come to your church. I'll support you." Yep. "If you'll promise me you won't say anything about my pet sin."
Yeah, come on.
I'm preaching to you this morning. "Preacher, I love to come. I like to sing, and I like them youth when they get up by singing. I like it. I like it when they praise God. But I just can't stand that holiness preacher. I want to tell you one thing. God never called me to be a compromiser. He never called me to be a lukewarmer. He never called me to put wings, amen, on people when they was growing horns, amen. But he called me to preach holiness and separation from the world."
All right.
Billy Graham and Oral Roberts met years ago. And in their conversation, Or I'll ask Billy. Said Billy, you're a great salvation preacher. A great salvation preacher. But Billy, what are you going to do with divine healing? Billy looked back at him and said, Oral, I'm going to leave that to you. Later, here was Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And I got the picture to prove it. Standing, I stand for correction on this here, but I believe it went the ORU school or something was dedicated. Who did they have there? The priest. Standing between Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And a man that I believe that was on the rock at that time wrote in the article, watch these men. There is many of them have started out on a right road, but they compromised along the way. I don't want people to call me I used to be.
Right.
You're not shouting, you're not praising God, you're not lifting your hand, you're not saying amen, but I can keep your soul from burning in the lake of fire. It's my business.
All right.
John, you're just a little bit too fanatic. John, you just tighten the lid down a little too tight. Now let up, John, and I'll let you out. Then you can go anywhere you want. That's what that man told me on the radio. He said, preach all you want to, but don't preach against gambling. I said, you're barking up the wrong tree, sir. I can't preach against liquor unless I preach against gambling. Amen. If you don't want me on this radio station the way I am, goodbye. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If camp meetings don't want me as I am, goodbye. If preachers don't want me to come and preach revival for them the way I am, goodbye. Amen. I just got a call last night, one wanting me to come in March. Amen. Just let up a little bit. I'm still talking about burying too late.
All right.
John said, I can't do it. I was called by God. I wasn't called by grandma. I wasn't called by grandpa. I wasn't called by mom and dad. I was called by God, and I can't do it. I've got to please God.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right, John. He went away and his convictions were so bad till he said, I've got to have something to calm my nerves. Brother, if you're here today, sister, if you're here today, you don't need a sleeping pill. You don't need nerve pills to calm your nerves. You don't need a banquet. You don't need a night tango. You need Jesus Christ to calm your nerves.
That's right.
He went and called him, his group together. And boy, they brought in the shots. Oh, they was having a great time. Old Herod, old goozle-eyed now. I want to tell you something, folks. It is bad enough. This lust.
when a man's sober. But when he gets drunk, it multiplies.
All right.
Oh, just bring in that little girl of my wife's. Boy, she come in there with nude body, twisted and danced and maneuvered around.
I want to tell you, ladies, wear clothes that you're not creating lust
right
in a man's heart. And is he thus twisted into an old lustful spirit? You see, he had his chance to repent, and he wouldn't repent. And he said, bring that little lady over here. She walked away and brought him. He said, boy, you have really touched my heart. I'm telling you, you're the prettiest little thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Just take this here and ask anything you want to the half of my pain.
Yeah.
And you can have it. Let me tell you something, folks. If a man did you that way, what would you ask for? Boy,
Mama! I mean, she screamed, Mama.
She said, what's wrong with you, dear?
Mama! Mr. Aaron just told me
like she would have said, a new home for my daughter, a new car for my daughter, new clothes for my daughter, a big bank account, but instead of that, motivated by sin and evil and a devilish conscience, amen. And lush, she said, ask her God that this head and a charger.
Yeah.
She would rather have the holiness preacher's head to lay in the living room on a charger than to have the riches.
I will not chide with thee always. For I set before thee life and death this day. Be not as others that have said later, but be as thou. Linda on the piano. Mass may not hold you loose. Can I tell you, folks, with the blood running from John's neck, they carried his head in and presented it to that devilish woman. Can I tell you, they tell me that later that old Herod died one of the most awfulest deaths that a man could die. His legs and feet had swollen so bad till you could hear the splashing of water as he walked. Someone said, no doubt as he lay dying. He said, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait until it was too late? Let me tell you, it's not what you think of yourself. I'm not here to pat you on the shoulder and make you feel like an angel. I'm not going to be one that'll pat you on the back and let you go to hell without any convictions. God's ready to help you. God's ready to give you help right now. And it's not too late. But it may be tomorrow. Who would be honest and say, I need help today, preacher? And you'll stand to your feet right now and start making your way down around this altar. If you want God to help you, you better come to this altar. He'll help you. He can turn everything around for you. But if you don't serve Him, you don't live for Him. Oh, that Savior's calling. Oh, that Savior's calling. I want the congregation to stand, and you've heard God speak 3 times. You've heard Him to send out an invitation and then send out a warning. And these have responded this morning, and I ask you this morning, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 around this altar, 10. I want you to step out of your seat, pick somebody out around here, and get around them and pray for them. Consider this may be the time it's too late. Let's bury, let's have a funeral service for Mr. Later. Look, and don't let a one be without someone praying for him. Oh God. Oh God. Put it off to later to get serious with God.
get your mind on something else, Lord, than you put it on God. Don't let the devil slick you out of your salvation.
Give us tears!